I like to remind during the week, I like to remind the preachers so that they'll be here if they don't usually come to our congregation. And it was a blessing this week. I went to minister to my cousin Karen at the hospital. And, you know, this hospital has 11 floors. And, you know, here Dawn and Bonnie come in the room. And it just happens their sister-in-law was in the room right next door. You know, and so, you know, not a blessing they were in the hospital, but it was a blessing. You know, you never know who you'll run into wherever you go. And our brother Don, I know, has that desire to serve our God, to bring to us those things that we need to make us better. And it's a pleasure. He's always willing to, when I text him, he's always willing to give me many dates that he's available and he's ready to serve our God. So, pleasure to introduce Brother Don Case.
Thank you, David. That probably is because I don't do anything, and so consequently I have lots of open dates. But I do apologize for my attire. I didn't mean to be casual. I did actually set out a tie, but evidently fell on the floor or something, because by the time I got through at the clinic and was getting ready to go on up here, the tie wasn't there. So I ask your forgiveness. I sure didn't mean any disrespect. I also need to thank my daughter, Aubrey. She took pity on you. I, in my presentation, want to present a timeline, and I'm not very good with the computer and the graphics there, and so she did help you out significantly. She wasn't kind to me. I still have trouble coordinating my readings and the timeline. So if it doesn't make sense, it's because I didn't push the button at the right time. Before Dave asked me to preach today, I have been kind of convicted that some of my sermons tend to be kind of heavy and don't leave people coming away encouraged, but more overwhelmed maybe. I don't know. At Easter time, I had the opportunity to do a little study for myself and for a sermon on the evidence, the cold case evidence of an empty tomb and the story that revolves around the resurrection. And I was surprised at the influence that it had on me, that it built my faith. And so looking at this opportunity, I wanted to do something that would build faith, not be discouraging. And as it just happened at about the time, and I don't know exactly the sequence, but within a day or two of the time I got the understanding that I was to preach today, in my reading that I tried to do, I came to the third chapter of Jacob. And that's what my topic will be on. Early in that chapter, we all know that in the third chapter of Jacob is the prophecy of Zenos. And that's what I will dwell on predominantly. But early in the chapter, seventh verse, I ran across this and it just jumped out at me. It says, "Wherefore we search the prophets, and we have many revelations in the spirit of prophecy, and having all these witnesses, we obtain a hope, and our faith becometh unshaken, insomuch that we truly can command in the name of Jesus, and the very trees obey us, or the mountains, or the waves of the sea. Nevertheless, the Lord God sheweth us our weakness, that we may know that it is by his grace and his great condescensions unto the children of men that we have power to do these things." I find it interesting that he not only knows our needs so that we can have faith, he also knows the consequence of when we feel like we have faith, we feel puffed up and we take credit where credit is not due, and we tend to steal what is God's. And so Jacob says, "Nevertheless, God sheweth our weakness." Verse 9, "Behold, great and marvelous are the works of the Lord. How unsearchable are the depths of his mystery, of the mysteries of him. And it is impossible that man should find out all his ways. And no man knoweth of his ways, save it be revealed unto him. Wherefore, brethren, despise not the revelations of God. As I go through this timeline and the prophecy of Zenos, I don't want you to dwell on the timeline specifically. I'm not a historian. I'm sure there are all kinds of mistakes up on that timeline. There are things that are on that timeline that maybe don't really fit on it. And I know that there are all kinds of things that do fit that aren't on it. But I want you to get an overall view of this revelation, this prophecy that was given to build our faith. The fact that God has a plan from the very beginning to help us know him. He chose the house of Israel to demonstrate this power and this love that he has for us. And so he has taken the house of Israel down through all these thousands of years with a plan. And he told us what the plan was in Zenos' prophecy. And it's just remarkable to me how accurate. So I will begin with verse 31 in the third chapter of Jacob. For behold, thus saith the Lord, I will liken thee, O house of Israel, like unto a tame olive tree, which a man took and nourished in his vineyard, and it grew and waxed old and began to decay. Okay, a whole series of events takes place in that one verse. So in my timeline, how did the house of Israel come into being? It started with Abraham, and God made a promise to Abraham that all the nations of the earth would be blessed through him. And he gave him a land, and he developed a relationship with Abraham. Above all other men on the earth, he chose Abraham. And then Abraham had Isaac, and Isaac had Jacob, and Jacob's name was turned to Israel, and Israel had 12 sons, and the house of Israel came into being. That's this tame olive tree that Zenos refers to here. That he's likening the house of Israel to a tame olive tree. And he took that tree and he went and he protected it. He didn't leave it out there to the ravages of the world. They were small. There were just a few dozen people. And he took them down into Egypt. And there for 400 years, he protected them from the onslaughts of all their enemies. Though they became slaves, they were protected. And then Moses, in 1446 approximately, led the people out of Egypt. Million or more people, a house, a large tame olive tree who has become old, 400 years, 600 years. I don't know how old, when you want to start that. They settle in the promised land. And so this tree that he's likening it to the house of Israel to has grown old, and there's problems with it. God has demonstrated who he is. He has demonstrated his love for these people, his power to protect them, to lead them, to direct them. And yet they have a tendency to want to go their own way. I can't imagine anyone wanting to go their own way after seeing what they've seen. Except, I want to go my own way. And I fall and I fall. So did they. So let's go on to verse 32. It came to pass that the master of the vineyard went forth, and he saw that his olive tree began to decay. And he saith, I will prune it and dig about it, nourish it, that perhaps it may shoot forth young
and tender branches, and it perish not. Oh, I've already failed. Verse 32 is the first visit of the Lord of the vineyard into his vineyard to see this tame olive tree. And so what time it was, I don't know exactly. But somewhere around this time, between 1400 and 1300 BC, maybe, maybe not. But he has seen his olive tree, that it needs to be nourished. Let's go to verse 33. And it came to pass that he pruned it and digged about it and nourished it according to his word. So what does that look like? All right, goofed up again here. This is him digging and pruning and nourishing his tree. There's all kinds of things. Primarily, we have the reign of the judges, where nations would and enemies would come against the house of Israel, and God would raise up a judge who would take charge of the people, and he would help them to defeat their enemy, to help show them what a God he was and how much he loved them. And then they demanded a king. And he says, "That's not my will. But if you demand it, want a king, I'll give you a king." And so he gave him Saul. And we know that Saul had some issues. And he fell quickly. And then he gave David. David was a great man, but he wasn't a perfect man. And then came Solomon. And Solomon did some wonderful things. He completed the temple. But we also know that Solomon had a weakness, and he fell. Now I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's go to verse 34. And it came to pass, after many days, it began to put forth somewhat a little young and tender branch, but behold, the main top thereof began to perish. And it came to pass that the master of the vineyard saw it, and he saith unto his servant, "It grieveth me that I should lose this tree." Already in this parable, this is the second time that the Lord of the vineyard comes in and he sees that his tree is having trouble. And it's the top of it now that is having trouble. Obviously, the kings are struggling and they're rotting and decaying. We know that Solomon had many wives, and he was led away into worshiping their gods, and great evil came of that. And then the kingdom was divided shortly after his death, when Jeroboam and Rehoboam fought over who would be king. But let me read that part. This will be a fairly long read, beginning with verse 36. "Wherefore, go and pluck the branches of a wild olive tree, and bring them hither unto me, and we will pluck off these main branches, which are beginning to wither away, and we will cast them into the fire, that they may be burned. And behold, saith the Lord of the vineyard, I take away many of these young and tender branches, and I will graft them whithersoever I will. And it mattereth not, that if it so be that the root of this tree will perish, I may preserve the fruit thereof unto myself. Wherefore I will take these young and tender branches, and I will graft them whithersoever I will. Take thou the branches of the wild olive tree, and graft them in the stead thereof. And these which I have plucked off, I will cast into the fire and burn them, that they may not cumber the ground of my vineyard. And it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard, and it came to pass that the servant of the Lord of the vineyard did according to the word of the Lord of the vineyard, and grafted in the branches of the wild olive tree. And the Lord of the vineyard caused that it should be digged about and pruned and nourished, saying unto his servant, It grieveth me that I should lose this tree. Wherefore, that perhaps I might preserve the roots thereof, that they perish not, that I may preserve them unto myself, I have done this. Wherefore, go thy way, watch the tree, and nourish it according to my words. And these will I place in the nethermost part of my vineyard, whithersoever I will.
it mattereth not unto thee. And I do it that I may preserve unto myself the natural branches of the tree, and also that I may lay up fruit thereof against the season unto myself. For agree with me that I should lose this tree and the fruit thereof. And it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard went his way and hid the natural branches of the tame olive tree in the nethermost parts of the vineyard, some in one, and some in another, according to his will and pleasure. It's interesting that he hides where he plants these trees. Also interesting that we refer to it as the 10 lost tribes. They're lost to us. They're hidden. How did he do that? He caused all kinds of activities in this world, events that scattered the people. There were wars. There were threats. Lehi had to leave with his family to protect them and himself. And then there was sin. They caused divisions and separation. You can look down through here. There's all kinds of things that caused this grafting out and this grafting in, that caused people to move to other parts of the world, and we obviously don't know where all those are at. And then, again, he begins to nourish his tree. And so things like Jesus coming and his ministry nourished that tree. And then the crucifixion and the resurrection, and the church begins to flourish. But at the same time, on this continent, there was a great destruction of death and turmoil. But it's in the prophecy. Verse 49, and it came to pass that a long time passed away, and the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his servant, come, let's go down into the vineyard, that we may labor in the vineyard. And it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard and also the servant went down into the vineyard to labor. I make an assumption, but let me put it into words. The Lord of the vineyard is God, and his servant is Jesus Christ. And it came to pass that the servant saith unto his master, behold, look here, behold the tree. And it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard looked, and behold the tree in which the wild olive branches had been grafted, and it hath sprung forth and begun to bear fruit. And he beheld that it was good, and the fruit thereof was like unto the natural fruit. And he saith unto the servant, behold, the branches of the wild tree hath taken hold of the moisture of the root thereof, and the root thereof hath brought forth much strength. And because of the much strength of the root thereof, the wild branches hath brought forth tame fruit. Now, if we had not grafted in these branches, the tree thereof would have perished. And now, behold, I shall lay up much fruit, which the tree thereof hath brought forth, and the fruit thereof I shall lay up against the season unto mine own self. And it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard saith unto the servant, come, let us go to the nethermost parts of the vineyard, and behold, if the natural branches of the tree hath not brought forth much fruit also, that I may lay up of the fruit thereof against the season unto my own self. And it came to pass that he went forth, whither the master of the vineyard had hid the natural branches of the tree, and he saith unto the servant, behold these. And he beheld the first, that it had brought forth much fruit, and behold also that it was good. And he saith unto the servant, take of the fruit thereof, and lay it up against the season, that I may preserve it unto mine own self. For behold, saith he, this long time have I nourished it, and it hath brought forth much fruit. And it came to pass that the servant said unto his master, how comest thou hither to plant this tree, or this branch of the tree? For behold, it is was the poorest spot in all the land of thy vineyard. And the Lord of the vineyard saith unto him, counsel me not. I knew that it was a poor spot of ground. Wherefore I said unto thee, I have nourished it all this long time, And thou beholdest that it hath brought forth much good, much fruit. And it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his servant, look hither, behold, I have planted another branch of the tree also. And thou knowest that this spot of ground was poorer than the first. But behold, the tree, I have nourished it this long time, and it hath brought forth much fruit. Therefore gather it and lay it up against the season, that I may preserve it unto mine own self. And it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard saith again unto his servant, look hither, and behold another branch also which I have planted. Behold, that I have nourished it also, and it hath brought forth fruit. And he saith unto the servant, look hither, and behold the last. Behold, this have I planted in a good spot of ground, and I have nourished it this long time, and only a part of the tree hath brought forth tame fruit, and the other part hath brought forth wild fruit. For behold, I have nourished this tree like unto the others. And it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his servant, pluck off the branches that have not brought forth good fruit, and cast them into the fire. I'm going to stop here, but that's not the end of that. So kind of hold on to that thought, that he's going to cast some of those branches into the fire. Where am I at here? So this is the third visit to the vineyard. And in synopsis of what he sees when he comes into that vineyard is that the tame olive tree, this main house of Israel that we know where is at, has brought forth good fruit. But there are these other outcroppings of the house of Israel that we don't know where are, and they've also brought forth good fruit. But there's one place that's in a very good land that's only brought forth half good fruit and half bad fruit. And I put the half in there, a portion of good fruit and a portion of bad fruit. And we know where that was at. That was on this land. There were the Lamanites and the Nephites. They were the sons and the descendants of Lehi after he left Jerusalem. And some of them were wicked, and some of them were righteous. We don't know exactly what time. We know that it was after 600 BC because that's when Lehi left. And we know it was before 400 AD because that's when the Lamanites destroyed the Nephites that we will get to. But so somewhere, and I have made that time frame shortly after the crucifixion. We can discuss that. It's not critical. It's in that time frame. So I'd like to read now verse 7, to begin with verse 70. But behold, the servant saith unto him, let us prune it and dig about it. And so in 69, the Lord of the vineyard was going to take those branches that were bringing forth wild fruit and destroy them. But the servant says, unto him, let us prune it and dig about it and nourish it a little longer, that perhaps it might bring forth good fruit unto thee, that thou cast it not again, that thou canst lay up against the season. And it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard and the servant of the Lord of the vineyard did nourish all the fruit of the vineyard. And so in verse 70 and 71, we see that both the Lord of the vineyard and the servant of the vineyard of the Lord of the vineyard agree not to destroy that half that was bringing forth wild fruit, but to nourish it. And they nourish all of their vineyard. In that time frame, there's a lot of persecution of the church. I don't know why, but it's obvious that righteousness prevails and it grows during times of persecution. When things are hard, that's when people stand up and rise to the occasion. And when things are going great, they tend to get puffed up and proud, and they fall away. And so sometimes this nourishment can be in the form of persecution. Sometimes it's
as when Christ came and did his ministry, and that he nourished them. So let's begin with, I see that I have a little gap here that I didn't get corrected, but let's begin with verse 72, and we're going to read to 108. Maybe if I push the button, there it is, 72 to 108. Okay. And it came to pass that a long time had passed away, and the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his servant, Come, let us go down into the vineyard, that we may labor again in the vineyard. For behold, the time draweth near, and the end soon cometh. Wherefore, I must lay up fruit against the season unto mine own self. And it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard and the servant went down into the vineyard, and they came to the tree whose natural branches had been broke off, and the wild branches had been grafted in. And behold, all sorts of fruit did cumber the tree. And it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard did taste of the fruit, every sort according to his number. And the Lord of the vineyard saith, Behold, this long time have we nourished this tree, and I have laid up unto myself against the season much fruit. But behold, this time it hath brought forth much fruit, and there is none of it which is good. And behold, there are all kinds of bad fruit, and it profiteth me nothing, notwithstanding all our labor, and now it grieveth me that I should lose this tree. And the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his servant, What shall we do unto the tree, that I may preserve again the good fruit thereof unto mine own self? And the servant saith unto his master, Behold, because thou hast grafted in the branches of the wild olive tree, they have nourished the roots, and they are alive, and they have not perished. Wherefore thou beholdest that they are yet good. And it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his servant, The tree profiteth me nothing, and the roots thereof profit me nothing, so long as it shall bring forth evil fruit. Nevertheless, I know that the roots are good, and for mine own purpose I have preserved them. And because of their much strength, they have hitherto brought forth from the wild branches good fruit. But behold, the wild branches have grown and have overrun the roots thereof, and because of the wild branches have overrun the roots thereof, it hath brought forth much evil fruit. And because of that it hath brought forth so much evil fruit, thou beholdest that it beginneth to perish, and it will soon become ripened, that it may be cast into the fire, except we should do something for it to preserve it. And it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his servant, Let us go down to the nethermost parts of the vineyard, and behold, if the natural branches that have been have also brought forth evil fruit. And it came to pass that they went down into the nethermost parts of the vineyard, and it came to pass that they beheld the fruits of the natural branches, and because of corruption, and it came to pass that they beheld that the fruit of the natural branches had become corrupt also, yea, the fruit, the first and the second, and also the last, and they had all become corrupt. And the wild fruit of the last had overcome that part of the tree which brought forth good fruit, even that the branch had withered away and died. It came to pass that the Lord of the vineyards wept, and saith unto the servant, What could have I done more for my vineyard? Behold, I knew that all the fruit of the vineyard, save it were these had become corrupted. And now these, which had once brought forth good fruit, have also become corrupted. And now all the trees of my vineyard are good for nothing, save it be to be hewn down and cast into the fire. And behold, this last, whose branches have withered away, I did plant in a good spot of ground, yea, even that which was choice unto me above all other parts of the land of my vineyard. And thou beholdest that I also cut down that which cumbered this spot of ground, that I might plant this tree in the stead thereof. And thou beholdest that a part thereof brought forth good fruit, and a part thereof brought forth evil fruit. And because I plucked not the branches thereof and cast them into the fire, they have overcome the good branch, and that it hath withered away. And now, notwithstanding all the care which we have taken of the vineyard, the trees thereof have become corrupt, that they bring forth no good fruit. And these I have hoped to preserve, to have laid up fruit thereof against the season unto mine own self. But behold, they have become like unto the wild olive tree, and they are of no worth, but to be hewn down and to be cast into the fire and to receive, and agree with me that I should lose these, that I should lose them. But what could have I done more in my vineyard? Have I slackened my hand that I have not nourished it? Nay, I have nourished it, and I have digged it, and have pruned it, and have dunged it, and have stretched forth my hand almost all the day long, and the end draweth nigh, and it grieveth me that I should hew down all the trees of my vineyard and cast them into the fire that they should be burned. Who is it that hath corrupted my vineyard? And it came to pass that the servant saith unto him, Master, is it not the loftiness of thy vineyard? Hath not the branches thereof overcome the roots which are good? And because that the branches have overcome the roots thereof, behold, they grew faster than the strength of the roots. Behold, therefore, taking strength unto themselves, behold, I say, is not this the cause that the trees of thy vineyard have become corrupt? And so we see again that the Lord of the vineyard and his servant for the fourth time have come down into the vineyard, and this time it's all evil, and part of that one tree is dead. We know that that has to be after the Nephites were destroyed by the Lamanites, and so it had to be sometime after 400 AD. I would like to continue on with verse 109. Came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard saith unto the servant, let us go to and hew down the trees of the vineyard and hew down the trees of the vineyard and cast them into the fire that they should not cumber the ground of my vineyard, for I have done all that I could have done. What could I have done more for my vineyard? But behold, the servant saith unto the Lord of the vineyard, spare it a little longer. And the Lord saith, yea, I will spare it a little longer, for it grieveth me that I should lose the trees of my vineyard. Wherefore, let us take the branches of these which I have planted in the nethermost parts of my vineyard, and let us graft them into the tree from whence they came. And let us pluck from the tree whose branches, pluck from the tree those branches whose fruit is most bitter, and graft in the branch, the natural branches of the tree in the stead thereof. And this will I do, that the tree may not perish, that perhaps I may preserve unto myself the roots thereof for mine own purpose. And behold, the roots of the natural branches of the tree which I have planted hithersoever I would are yet alive. Wherefore, that I may preserve them unto mine own purpose, I will take the branches of this tree, and I will graft them in unto them. Yea, and I will graft in unto them the branches of their mother tree, that I may preserve the roots also unto mine own self, that when they shall be sufficiently strong, that perhaps they may bring forth good fruit unto me, and I may yet have glory in the fruit of my vineyard. It came to pass that I took of the natural tree which had become wild, and grafted in unto the natural tree which also had become wild. And they also took of the natural trees which had become wild, and grafted into the mother tree. And the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his servant, pluck not the wild branches from the trees, save it be those which are most bitter, and in them we shall graft according to that which I have said. And we will nourish again the trees of the vineyard, and we will trim up the branches thereof, and we will pluck from the trees those branches which are ripened, that must be perish, and cast them into the fire. And this I do, that perhaps the roots thereof may take strength because of their goodness, and because of the change of the branches, that the good may overcome the evil. And because I have preserved the natural branches and the roots thereof, and that I have grafted in the natural branches again unto their mother tree, and have preserved the roots of their mother tree, that perhaps the trees of my vineyard may bring forth good fruit again, and that I may have joy again in the fruit of my vineyard, and perhaps that I may rejoice exceedingly that I have preserved the roots and the branches of the fruit of the first fruit. Wherefore, go to and call servants, that we may labor diligently with our might, and in the vineyard, that we may prepare the way, that I may bring forth again natural fruit, which natural fruit is good and most precious above all other fruits. I want to make a mention of the fact that he's calling servants at this point. All the way through this history of people, it has been nations and mass groups of movement. Now he's calling individuals into service. And we'll discuss that a little bit more, but I just want to make mention of that. Wherefore, let us go to and labor with our mites this last time, for behold, the end draweth nigh, and this is the last time that I shall prune my vineyard. Graft in the branches again at the last, that they may be first, and that the first may be last, and dig about the trees, both old and young, the first and the last, and the last and the first, that all may be nourished once again for this last time. Wherefore, dig about them and prune them and dung them once again more for the last time, for the end draweth nigh. And if it so be that these last grafts shall grow and bring forth the natural fruit, then shall we prepare the way for them that they may grow. And as they begin to grow, we shall clear away the branches which bring forth bitter fruit according to the strength of the good and the size thereof. And we shall not clear away the bad thereof all at once, lest the roots thereof should be too strong for the graft, and the graft thereof shall perish, and I lose the trees of my vineyard. For it grieveth me that I should lose the trees of my vineyard, wherefore I shall clear away the bad according to the good, according as the good shall grow, that the roots and the top may be equal in strength, until the good shall overcome the bad, and the bad be hewn down and cast into the fire, that they cumber not the ground of my vineyard, and thus will I sweep away the bad out of my vineyard. And the branches of the natural tree, which I graft in again into the natural tree, and the branches of the natural tree will I graft in into the natural branches of the tree. And thus will I bring about them together again, that they shall bring forth the natural fruit, and they shall be one. And the bad shall be cast away, even out of all the land of my vineyard. For behold, only this once will I prune my vineyard. And it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard sent his servant, and the servant went and did as the Lord had commanded him, and brought other servants, and they were few. And the Lord of the vineyard saith unto them, go to and labor in the vineyard with your mites. For behold, this is the last time that I shall nourish my vineyard, for the end is nigh at hand, and the season speedily cometh. And if ye labor with your mites with me, ye shall have joy in the fruit which I shall lay up unto myself against the time which will soon come. And it came to pass that the servant did go to it, and labor with their mites, and the Lord of the vineyard labored with them also with them, and they did obey the commandments of the Lord of the vineyard in all things. And there began to be the natural fruit again in the vineyard, and the natural branches began to grow and to thrive exceedingly, and the wild branches began to be plucked off and to be cast away, and they did keep the root and the top thereof equal according to the strength thereof. And thus they labored with all diligence according to the commandments of the Lord of the vineyard, even until the bad had become cast away out of the vineyard, and the Lord had preserved unto himself all the trees, that all the trees had become again the natural fruit. And they became like unto one body, and the fruit were equal, and the Lord of the vineyard had preserved unto himself the natural branches, which was most precious unto him from the beginning. Okay, a long read, and I'm sorry it's confusing, but we see individuals come to the surface. The Wycliffe translation of the English Bible, and one individual translated a Bible that made it significantly more available to the people. Gutenberg invented a press, and as an individual, he had terrific impact on the gospel going out just by a mechanical device. I'm not saying he was a great guy. I don't know him, but it doesn't make any difference. Luther stands up and proclaims that the church is wrong and it has evil in it. And he makes this 95th thesis or 95 thesis that he hangs out. Individuals took major stands, and some of them paid the ultimate price for it. And then we come on down until 1830, and we see that the church, 1829, the Book of Mormon was published. The Church of Christ comes into being. There are also men called to take the gospel. So it fits very much like what is written here, and that he called a few servants. There's another aspect that I close that reading with in verse 144. And they became like unto one body, and the fruit were equal. And the Lord of the vineyard had preserved unto himself the natural fruit, which was most precious unto him from the beginning. We just read about all this grafting in of from the nethermost parts of the vineyard into the tame olive tree again. And vice versa. And so there's going to be this shifting of peoples, very much like in the Dark Ages. I don't know whether you caught it on here, but I didn't realize before. In the Dark Ages, it was also called the migration period, where massive numbers of people moved that I don't know who they were. I don't know that they were all of the house of Israel, but God is in control of all peoples, and he had these mass movements. Then we come into the present time when there is massive amounts of people moving from one area to the other, and we see it right now in our southern borders, but it's been going on for some time. But there will become a point in the future when they will become like one. We don't see that now. We are very, very divided as nations. In fact, maybe more so than in a long time. But yet, in this prophecy, it says, and they became like unto one body. So this house of Israel, or the believers, I'm not sure how we're going to see this carried out. I'm not a prophet. I'm just saying that that's what I read, and yet it has to be in the future. So, for the fifth time, the Lord of the vineyard talks to the servant of the vineyard, or his servant, and says, let's go back down into the vineyard, and we'll see what's going on. And it came to pass, this is verse 145, and it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard saw that his fruit was good, and that his vineyard was no more corrupt. And he called up his servants and saith unto them, behold, for this last time have we nourished my vineyard, and thou beholdest that I have done according to my will. And I have preserved the natural fruit, that it is good, even as it was in the beginning. Blessed art thou. For behold, because that ye have been diligent in laboring with me in my vineyard, and have kept my commandments, and have brought unto me again the natural fruit, that my vineyard is no more corrupt, and the bad is cast away. Behold, ye shall have joy with me because of the fruit of my vineyard. So now we have all of the trees bringing forth good fruit. When will that occur? I don't know. It's in the future. I didn't even put down here when the present is, because I don't know where we sit in this end time frame. But we know that there is much that must be done, that has to be accomplished. And right now, I don't see it. But that brings me to the lesson that I want you to take away from here, is that though we cannot see, they couldn't see back in at Christ's time. There was no time in history where people that were alive really had a grasp of where they were in this time frame. But God was kind enough to show us this prophecy so that we have a whole picture and we can look back and see what happened. Why? So that our faith will be unshaken, and that even though we can't see the future and we don't understand what's going to take place, we know that it's the same God and He has a plan, and it's been under His control the whole time, and it is still in His control, and He will accomplish it as He wishes. So it brings me great faith. Hopefully a faith that will not be shaken. But we know that there is tough times, and all that moving and pruning and digging about, there was pain, there was hardship, there was death. Will it change? I think not. I think that all lies in front of us. But there is a God, and He's in control, and He loves us, and He wants us to know who He is. And so He gave us this prophecy to build our strength. I'd like to read, beginning with 148. Behold, for a long time will I lay up fruit of my vineyard unto mine own self against the season which speedily cometh. And for the last time I have nourished my vineyard and pruned it and digged about it and dunged it. Wherefore I will lay up unto mine own self of the fruit for a long time according to that which I have spoken. And when the time cometh that evil shall be again come into my vineyard, then will I cause the good and the bad to be gathered. And the good will I preserve unto myself, and the bad will I cast away into its own place. And then cometh the season and the end, and my vineyard will I cause to be burned with fire. There will be a judgment day. There will be an end. But we can know that it's the same God, and He will take us to the very end if we will only be with Him. I thank you.